I hear a lot of people say that the Native community needs heroes. Well, we already have our heroes. So let's just take a minute to remember them.
And any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall, I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breeze. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breeze. Hallelujah.
You're listening to Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded, and current lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
How did Wani take a knife to the ribs, then represent this country, damn she forgive? And how does Leonard Peltier get out of bed each day, finding hope in the hopeless, it's the Indian way? And why did Tommy Prince fight for all Canadian people, when right here at home he wasn't considered an equal? Overseas he fought with the heart of a warrior.
Show intro was Heroes by Wab Canoe. Unceded Airwaves broadcasts every week from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Bangwizi, Autumn Chanel Vilji, Chief Jim Kui, Janet Kui, Shedeji. I am Treaty 11 Gwich'in and a Inuvialuit on my mother's side. I was born and raised in Amaskwatchewaskaigan on Treaty 6 territory of the Cree, Métis, Nakota Sioux, and Soto peoples. I was lucky enough to live there for the first 17 years of my life. Now I'm living here as an uninvited guest on Musqueam lands, also Squamish and Tsleil-Waututh lands, and I'm really grateful to be here. I've been here for my first year, and it's been a great year. Do you want to introduce yourself, Melissa?
Yeah. So I'm Melissa Haverill. I am a settler person originally from Epiquet, also known as Prince Edward Island, which is traditional and unceded Mi'kmaq territory. I've been in Vancouver for the last 6 years, living on Coast Salish territories here, and I'm grateful every day.
Beautiful. So we would like to thank our sponsors, Decolonizing Water and NORAD Electric. You're listening to Season 3, Episode 19 of Unceded Airwave. Today we will be talking about the Fontaine Verdict Part 2. If you were listening several weeks ago, we did another episode on the Tina Fontaine Rally. But recently there was an event here actually at UBC put on by the law students where they did a walkout. So I felt like it was necessary to play Part 2. And also we missed lots of really great speeches in the first part. So yeah. And then we're going to be chatting with some Haida artists about some cool things happening in Metro Vancouver this week. But before we get into it, let's set our intention for the day. So we are the Indigenous Radio Collective. Every week we discuss Indigenous issues, current events, and entertainment. We are a collective of Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who use our weekly airtime for our own self-representation.
We strive to center Indigenous voices on the show and to build narratives that empower Indigenous people. Unceded Airwaves is our opportunity to share and define the diversity of Indigenous cultures and highlight some influential Indigenous folks.
If you can relate to the goals of the show but are wondering how to get involved, please reach out. You can reach us on our social media. We have Facebook and Twitter. And if you have a voice for decolonization, we want to hear from you.
Everyone is welcome and there's no experience necessary. Our weekly meeting is every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. at CITR in the lower level of the Nest. If you want to get involved but don't want to be on air, there's plenty of other ways to participate in this collective.
You can follow Unceded Airwaves on Facebook and Twitter. If you're aware of a great Indigenous artist, send us a tweet using the hashtag Unceded Music, or send us a Facebook message at Unceded Airwaves and we'll do our best to get it on air. And if we play a song you send us, we'll even give you a shout out.
We're always looking to hear from our listeners about what you're up to, so let us know about any Indigenous artists that you're into right now or any events that you're attending or promoting. As always, we'll post a link to the podcast of this episode after the show. We'll have our weekly Unceded Events listing to share a little later in the show as well.
And if you remember our special International Women's Day episode, I mentioned Codine by Buffy St. Marie, but I didn't play it, so we're listening to it right now. I hope you enjoy it.
And my belly's craving, I got a shaking in my head. Feel like I'm dying, and wish I was dead. If I live till tomorrow, that'll be a long time. But
I wheel and I fall and I rise on codeine. And it's real, and it's real one more time. Well, when I was a young girl, I learned not to care. Oh, whiskey, and from it I often did swear. My mother and father said whiskey's a curse, but the fate of their baby was a many times worse. And it's real, and it's real one more time. Cities, stay away from the towns. Stay away from the men pushing the codeine around. Stay away from the stores where the remedy is fine. For better your pain than be caught on codeine. And it's real, and it's real one more time. You'll forget you're a woman, you'll forget about men. Try it just once, and you'll try it again. You'll forget about life, you'll forget about. I've heeded the warning that I got when I was young. My one satisfaction, it comes when I think that I'm living my life without bending to drink. And it's real, and it's real.
You just heard Codeine by Buffy St. Marie. And now for the segment of the show, we are going to be playing a piece from the Tina Fontaine rallies. We have some speeches. They are all really, really powerful speeches. And I felt like we didn't have enough time in our hour-long episode several weeks ago to adequately discuss these topics, especially with what just happened at UBC with the walkout from the Indigenous law students. So enjoy what these people have to say, and thank them for their time.
This teaching comes from Tom McCallum. Men are the fire keepers. Women are the fire. Men's roles are to sit at the fire and care for it. Fire is iskotu, and woman is iskweo. The woman comes from the fire. As I've come to understand this teaching, our men are not life givers, so their capacity to heal is different and requires ceremony. The trouble is our men, as equal states as, are standing outside the bars holding bottles and lighters. And when they do come to the fire for healing, they get angry for the pain experienced through healing. This may result in snuffing out the fire or facilitating its roaring, and thus we women burn and destruct, or we burn out. How this relates to Tina Fontaine is the role of her family. It is being interrupted through someone else coming to Tina's fire and those responsible for protecting her, failing her, and her fire being snuffed out. As a mother, I know my role as hard as I try to protect my daughter. Without the resurgence of our traditional models of governance, she will be vulnerable. So my question to you all is, how are you standing in your people's truth about how we protect our Iskweo, our Iskweosis, and all of our people? Tina's fire is burning on as last night in cities across Turtle Island, our people lit and protected her fire. How are you going to commit to the protection of our sons and daughters from this colonial state? Masi Cho, hi hi, on behalf of our family in Aikacho Dene lands, the Thomas Crooked Hands and Dume families, and our family here is Squamin.
Justice for Tina Fontaine! When I say justice, you say for Tina. Justice!
For Tina!
Justice!
For Tina!
Justice!
For Tina!
We're all here for Tina. The next person who's going to be speaking is someone who brought ceremony back into my life. I never thought that would happen again. This person opened parts of my heart and spirit up that had been closed for a very long time. They ended a drought that was generations long of not healing. This person is very sacred to me, and I'd like to introduce Sarah.
Miigwech. My name is Sarah Cadeau, Dinishtakaz, woman who makes knees shake. How are your knees doing? Yeah. I'm standing here with my sister Nikki, and I want to acknowledge all the matriarchs that are here and all the life givers that are here, the women that are browner than me. I'm Anishinaabe from Garden River. I was raised white with white privilege and white skin. I actually have the quantum, if we use an Indian Act word, for status. This is a really heavy subject. The Indian Act, please educate yourself if you're here as a settler. I'm a settler from Ontario. I'm an Anishinaabe and Jewish Ashkenazi. So I get to be a double genocide survivor. If you are not from here, or if you are from here, please educate yourself about the Indian Act. People are so upset about the system being broken. The system is not broken. It was built this way. The Indian Act is the most racist piece of legislature ever enacted throughout the whole world. They used this for the Second World War against my father's side, the Jewish side. That's what Hitler looked to, is our Indian Act. This is not an Indian problem. This is a white supremacy problem. Yeah! That as women, I see there's so many women here today that we all know what it's like to be hunted. But if you're brown, you're four times more likely to be hunted. I want to talk a little bit about the blanket. I want to talk about medicine as a blanket. I want to take away the power of people trying to snuff us out with blankets. I want to talk about the power of women wrapped in blankets. I want to talk about all of you bringing in your own indigeneity
to the land that you're on. Respect the land that you're on, wherever you are listening from. There are laws and protocols that do not belong to us as settlers, but we all had them. This corporate conspiracy to bring in pipelines was born a long, long time ago. They did it on purpose, burning witches, making us green-skinned, and saying that we ate children when we were midwives and herb gatherers and holders of wisdom. I will not be silenced. I will use my white privilege and speak to it whenever I see it. And I will also ask our Indigenous brothers, our Black brothers, our Red brothers, our Yellow brothers, our Purple brothers to start gathering your own. We have grandmother councils. I've been educated recently. I spoke about Me Too recently and was educated by a Madewin grandmother. Thank you, Darla. Sorry you can't be here today. Thank you, Grandmother Sharon, for explaining to me that we have these ways as women and as men, with youth, with two-spirited, with grandfathers. We can talk amongst each other. We can reclaim our old systems of governance. It's gonna take better conflict resolution between ourselves. We're gonna have to start looking each other in the eye when we hurt each other's feelings and start saying, I don't like the way you treated me, instead of talking to everyone else about it. That's how we get divided. I'm so sick of lateral violence. Do not do that to each other, brothers and sisters. Look each other in the eye and say, I love you. I see you. Divided. That is what they want from us. Thank you to our Black Lives Matter sister for saying that so eloquently. Who suffers more? Your white privilege will not protect you from the pipeline spills in Lower Vancouver, Upper Vancouver, West Side Vancouver, North Vancouver. That toxic plume's gonna kill ya. Every single one of us is gonna get sick under this patriarchal corporate bullshit. If you don't understand yet, please keep listening, please keep asking. I have a sister here who has asked me to talk to her about these things that I have learned from the young ones and the older ones who had to also educate me, because whether I'm Native and Jewish or not, I still am white. So I don't get attacked and preyed upon as much as my brothers and sisters of color. That's the reality. I don't have to wear a Jewish armband, and I don't have to get a status card. I get to have the privilege of my skin. So I want to acknowledge these beautiful Anishinaabe, Coast Salish, Cree, Soto, Inuit, Black, all the territories that are represented here. I want to say thank you, and I'm sorry for the white supremacy. We're gonna do better. People are challenging, what does this do? What it does is it educates and it gives us a place to mourn. And on that topic, I'm gonna sing a song for Tina and her family and for all of us here. I'm gonna call in some ancestors. This is from my territory. This is an Anishinaabe song. It's a calling song. I wanna offer it to the spirits, because each and every one of you have ancestors. Each and every one of you have teachings and responsibilities to walk in a good way. So stand in that and call that in and start cutting people out with love when they are being racist. Tell them that. When they are being misogynist, tell them that. I just had some radical brother today tell me something about white, about, not white, actually, single mothers. Ooh, I let him have it. I let him have it. I had a bunch of beautiful radical men get in touch with me. Are you okay? Are you okay? I said, I just burned that up for a reason. I left that there. Boom. I'm not gonna be quiet. But men, you need to gather your own. Why was I the one having to say, shut it down? You shut it down. Woo! Again, I wanna acknowledge this is not my territory. I'm so grateful to be here. And I hope that you all go and support Tiny House Warriors and Canada's Manuel McGann. March 2nd at the Rickshaw Theater. theater. We're all gonna see you there. And then on March 10th, we're gonna go and support Tsleil Waututh Nation, aren't we? And then we're gonna hear from Kwantlen, and we're gonna support the Kwantlen Healing Lodge, aren't we? Because this is all connected. Just like we're all connected. And on that blanket teaching, I want to remind you, you are a medicine blanket right now. Right now, you are one thread of a healing song that is wrapped into a blanket to go across this territory and send that out to the Fontaine family and to all the people suffering, all those youth that feel like they have an extra target on their back. We will shield you from that target. Your lives matter. We are going to break down any kind of system that tells us that it doesn't. The system is broken. We need to sit in council and really, really start to protect our own and gather our own and speak to our own. Let them be haters over there. We're going to do this with love. So I just ask you to stand in your spot, open your heart, open your mind, open your eyes, open your ears. Feel the medicine. You are the medicine. Welcome grandfathers, welcome grandmothers, and welcome Great Spirit. You can put that down out loud. Share it and hug each other and watch out for each other. Miigwech, Nahan.
As we shed tears for Tina Fontaine, for Colton Bushy, for the siblings that white people took, do not throw those tissues away. Save them. Light them on fire. Let Creator take them. Do not waste those tears, for they are sacred, they are medicine. Hold that for you. The next speaker is the organizer for the last rally. When I approached her, she said, "I have had enough, I am too tired. yet here she is, getting back up, saying, we are still here. The hip hop extraordinaire, JB, the First Lady. The First Lady!
First of all, I want to acknowledge Coast Salish territory, that I come with a good heart, mind, and spirit, that I come in a peaceful way. And every time that I speak in public spaces, I always share why we acknowledge territories. I want to thank Jay and Justin and all of the support networks that supported them. It was really heavy. In a way, I knew it was gonna happen. But I prayed so hard. And I was really sad. Because I did their way. I went and I sat with my sisters. We sat in INAC for 6 days with our children, with no men's support. We as women, we advocated for language. We advocated for youth funds. Because we see how vulnerable and how their targets on our people. I'm so angry. I followed their way. I went with their protocol. It's time for them to do our way. We see the gaps. We are the experts. We know what needs to happen. We have the solutions. And yet, they don't fucking listen. And I'm angry and I'm mad because I will never give up. I'm never fucking gonna give up. Because why? Because we have our beautiful grandmothers who've been advocating for 30 years in our city. And they work on the front line in the downtown east side. And I'm so grateful for them because they taught us how to organize. They taught us how to march in the streets and shut down the streets and say no more.
No more!
My heart is heavy, but I'm gonna rebuild it by connecting to my friends, my family, my loved ones, my culture, my language, my drumming, my dancing, and no fucking government, no murderer, no corporation, no pipeline can take that away from me. We have our traditional ways of governance, our Haudenosaunee people, our Six Nations people. We have our two-row wampum. That worked. Why? Because we were in our canoe and they were in their ship. And now they're trying to come into our canoe and trying to steer our canoe. And I say, get out of my canoe and I will teach you and you will be in your ship and I will be in my canoe. That's what's up and that's how we're going to change the system. The US government took our traditional ways of governance and put it into their system and built it around our way. But you know what? They forgot is the clan mothers, the women, they made it into their patriarchal way of use. So what if the US government can say that, oh, we're gonna use this way of traditional governance, but we're gonna change it into our way? What if it was Haudenosaunee way? What if they came here and was with us and listened to us? It's time for Canada to listen to us. Canada, it's time for you to listen to us. And you know what? I'm gonna, with friends and family in our community, we're gonna make them listen. Because you know why? Because we are now the Indian problem. I am the Indian problem, and watch out! Watch out! I acknowledge my sister, Kanahus Manuel. Warrior woman. She's the only one I see who's right at the front line. Give it up for Kanahus Manuel. So how I was able to translate my energy, because I'm a youth worker, I've been a youth advocate since I was a youth, since I was 17, over 15 years now. And I'm really scared for my son. I'm really scared for my community. Because they're not gonna be cute anymore. And I do whatever it takes through my music, through my teaching, through marching in the streets, all of the things that I do. And when Tina Fontaine's murderer was not guilty, it opened a veil of how Canada really, really, really feels about us. Canada lies and lies and lies. So what I do is I put and transfer my anger and my rage and my resistance through my art and through my poetry. And thank you to Talking Stick Festival and Nyla and Molly and all of the amazing Café du Soleil and all of the amazing poets who inspire me. We got to do a slam last night, and this is what I wrote yesterday at 5 p.m. Are you guys ready for this? Yeah. Get rid of the Indian problem. I'm a problem, she's a problem, he's a problem, they're a problem, we're a problem. Problems before we were born. Problems made policy born. Problems sworn and torn. Indian act, Indian acts, Indian artifacts stolen. Museum storage, museum hoarding. To document Indian problems, to document lies and lives, to document genocide. Give it back. Give it all back to our rightful owners. Our treasures were never loaners. Masks, totem poles, baskets, and blankets. You took without asking. I see you're anxious and thankless with no words. Your heart is blurred. Now you're shook. You're shook in your boots, seeing the strength of these roots growing deep in the ground, giving life into sound, like seeing my unborn child's ultrasound. Descendants of my future, descendants of our future, descendants of our ancestors are encrusted in the sky, like diamonds strung along the universe, making our way, doing it our way, not their way, our way. When will they learn our way? I did not come here to play. I get it done while I get take care of my son. I don't do this shit for fun. I do it for my mom's mom's mom. I am thankful, I am grateful to my relations to future generations. They can't get rid of the Indian problem. Why? Because I'm the problem. Yeah! So that's how I transfer my rage.
You're listening to Unseated Airwaves. Now for this portion of the show, you're going to be privileged enough to hear some really cool Haida punk music by a band called Jason Camp and the Posers. In light of recent happenings, we're going to play American Tongue by them first, which is... Oh, no, we're not going to play American Tongue by them first. We're going to play Silver-Tongued White Man first, in light of recent happenings. Although you're going to hear a little bit later American Tongue, which is one of my favorites. So sit back, enjoy some really cool Haida punk. For me, punk music has always meant like a sort of rebellion. It's reminded me of dingy house shows where there are way too many people crammed into a basement of sweaty mosh pits, and then seeing like a single twinkle light up on the wall. Yeah, and talking about Clint's house in Edmonton. If you're listening and you're from Edmonton, Clint's house. And then also seeing kids drink Fireball straight from the bottle or vodka straight from a bottle. So in other words, punk has a really special place in my heart. And I really love that there are some really cool Indigenous musicians that are making a presence in this white-coated music scene. So enjoy this really cool song.
You're listening to Unseated Airwaves. The time is 2:44. You just heard Silver-Tongued White Man by Jason Camp and the Posers. Now, we have two Haida artists behind the band here for some things they're doing in what is colonially known as Vancouver. James is in the studio with me and Autumn, and we also have Graham calling in from Haida Gwaii. So, do you guys both mind introducing yourselves? Maybe Graham can go first, calling in.
Yeah, I'm Graham Richard. I'm the poser.
Tell them more about yourself.
I hit things. I hit the drums and smash them pretty good. I guess I'm pretty good at the drums because the recording artists were at least impressed. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm James McGuire, or Skonquagong from the Skidans Ravens. I do the lead vocals and guitar. And, actually I shouldn't call them vocals, it's more like screaming angrily at people and kind of hyping people up.
He's a professional hype yeller.
I'm a yeller.
And yeah. can you tell us a little bit about where your name comes from?
The Jason Camp and the Posers?
Yeah.
Well, I think the real origin story is always evolving, just like our history.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's part of the annals of our oral history.
Yeah, exactly.
It might take a long time to tell the full version. A lot of our stories are pretty long, they go on and on. But I can give you a shortened version.
That'd be great.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Jason Camp, he was teasing us and saying that we can't be a real band until we have a name. And, we've always wanted to be a real band, right? We'll do anything for acceptance. And so he said, well, why don't you name the band after me? And we said, well, we will then. And so that's when we were Jason Camp and the Posers.
Yeah. That's great. Can you tell us, James, what you're doing in Vancouver?
What am I doing in Vancouver? About 500 different things.
Can you tell us a few of them? Your
favorites? Yeah.
The best ones?
Well, last weekend I helped out the Tluhadene dance group from Masset. I helped them out and gave them a little bit of a South End Skidigit representation and throughout the weekend during the Coastal First Nations Dance Festival. Did some dancing and singing with them. That was a really powerful weekend. Culture sharing was quite incredible. And it really gave me lots of ideas for the dances to do in the future for me and Josh Drew Graham here. What else? Tomorrow, there's the Haida opening for Haida Now at the Museum of Vancouver. And then on the 16th, it'll be playing, I think, for 2 months. It's an amazing exhibit that our friend Kuiwa Jones has curated, featuring the artifacts that are in storage in the Museum of Vancouver that have kind of really not been categorized until now. Mm. It's just
going to be a fantastic exhibit. There's such a huge concentration of beautiful, beautiful pieces there. So a lot of it is, just been in storage, so I'm really looking forward to seeing it all in person. I got the idea from some pictures and things, but I'm going to be there, I guess tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Man, it's going to be just amazing.
Yeah, so the show really kind of, it's showing people that our culture is, people tend to look at natives and native culture and Haida culture and specifically as the now and then the way it was.
Yeah.
And, and that's not what it is. We were all reincarnated from the people that did do it. So a lot of us are just visiting the things that we made in the past.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a hard concept for a lot of settlers to wrap their heads around. And so what Kuiwa has done is kind of featured things that like what Graham and I are doing with Jason Camp and the Posers and the film that we've made, the Edge of the Knife, and all these different kind of modern kind of new media ways that we are celebrating our culture and how it's directly connected because we're making new stuff where in the past we were making the things that are featured in the artifacts in these museums that were stolen hundreds of years ago or 100 years ago. Now we're just the same people making new things in the new world.
I have a question for you, Graham. Are you going to be in Vancouver for tomorrow?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'll be down there tomorrow.
Are you?
Ah, okay.
Are you flying here? When are you leaving?
He's a
raven. I'm going to come down in my canoe.
Oh, yeah, paddle.
Yeah, he's a raven. So
starting right after this phone call.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You could start now if you want. Yeah. It might sound nice.
The tide came in and out already. And
yeah, you got one more tide and then you've got to leave.
Yeah, and I've just been waiting for this phone call.
Oh, hey, don't let us inhibit you. You can start paddling now.
There's no service. There's no cell service in the middle of the Hecate Strait.
Bring some Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're just talking about new media. You kind of mentioned it there. In your guys' opinion, like, how can new media, radio or other forms of it, be a way of furthering decolonial activism?
Also including your band. That might be interesting.
Well, I mean, for us, we... Well, yeah, you can go ahead, Graham.
I don't know what that meant.
I think
we're decolonizing, or kind of like, you know, upsetting the sort of norms that we're living in now.
Yeah, hegemonic settlers.
Yeah, and colonialism in general. And how does new media kind of speak back to that, I guess?
To colonialism in general? Well, you know, I think that the genre that we've chosen, or the genre that just kind of like was well within our reach, was the punk genre, and I think that punk has always been a call to action against the colonial and imperialist structures that our world has been shaped from, and so we're looking to tear a lot of that down and to inspire a lot of people politically, inspire a lot of people to get off their chairs and get out in the streets and also get into the institutions and start switching things up, because you know the way that we've walked as a species so far it hasn't been working for, you know, as long as it's been around since we came up with this nonsense in the medieval era, and I think that having an indigenous voice in the punk genre only accentuates that as the victims of all these various systems, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
I was really surprised when I, like, first entered the punk music scene. I was like, why are there, like, I see feminist punk music, I see, like, Muslim punk music, why don't I see indigenous punk music? So it's really nice to see that.
What I think is when you have something you want to say and you want to say it very quickly without learning an instrument too hard, punk is the first thing that you jump into.
We're getting there, though, you know. Like,
yeah, we're getting much better. We always tell people that eventually we hope to have dealt with all this post-colonial anger and rage and be just kind of a free-form jazz duo. Once we've learned our instruments.
Yeah.
I really wish Ottawa and D.C. would just get their acts together so that we could become a jazz duet.
Yeah, yeah, really, that's the only thing holding us back is decolonialized government. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then how did you get started with the Arts and Music Co-op?
So the Ginga and Klotl God happened out of necessity. We don't, but Ginga and Klotl God means do it yourself in Haida.
DIY.
Yes, exactly. You know, we don't really have the resources that a lot of musicians and artists do on the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
Things have to happen at first hand, basically. You know, if you're not gonna do it, then it's not gonna happen. And that it's the way that we've created all sorts of different things that we've created thus far. So, and the music scene was exactly the same way. It's either, you know, kind of the dance, a cover band, no knock in the amazing musicians that play in the cover bands that play at our local dances and stuff like that. But you can only hear so many CCR songs before you think, I want to hear something from this place that's speaking about everyday life here. And so two of the bands, Dub Jackson Band and us, Jason Camp and the Posers, formed a cooperative to bring all those, you know, new quote unquote new media artists and stuff like that together in order to kind of hold each other up and promote each other off of the shores or on the shores of Haida Gwaii too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how would you say the response has been to that? Like, that's so cool. Like, how long has it been around for and what have you guys?
We just had our third annual punk rock festival. We call it awesome. Guy Fox Yourself, which is an easy way to say a certain phrase on the air. It's on Guy Fox Day or on or around Guy Fox Day. We had our first one 3 years ago, and that was kind of what sparked the Ginga and Klotl God cooperative. And then we bought a bunch of equipment, and it's exploded from there. Yeah. And it's really kind of turned into a fall time kind of like local alternative music and arts festival in Haida Gwaii.
We really benefit because we come from one of the best communities that you can imagine, and that we didn't really expect too much from that first one, but man, like the turnout and the support that we got from the community, and you know, just the inspiration that we were able to give to other musicians to start their own bands and everything, and that was just terrific, you know. So yeah, we've done that every year since, and we're just gonna keep on that. Yeah, it's just such a good gig every single year. It's like one of my favorite gigs every single year. Yeah,
Josh, you really touched on that too. It started with the two bands saying, "Hey, we can make something different happen here. We're just gonna do it," and then now we're working into our third year, and oh, the amount of amazing artists that are now either moving home and contributing to our scene, and it's really pumping up the scene. Yeah. Like, people are paying attention. Yeah. And to the young people that are like, hey, I can just make music in my school now. And like Demik, that guy, he's making great music. Bexley, Beethoven, the Resnecks. Oh, there's at least, you know, and it all started with guys like Jace El Nino and the Haida Hippies and Chinai Hair. Like, there's a musical history on Haida Gwaii that is incredible. It's like this little microcosm of amazing artists.
That's so good.
Yeah. And the ripple effect too, right? Yeah, like, you're inspiring out way past just Haida Gwaii.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're down here.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you two so much for being here, making time for Unseated Airwaves.
Yeah, we're running out a little time.
Yeah. Yeah, so now we're going to do our unseated events. The first one that we have is on March 16th. That's 2 days away. There is a National 60 Scoop Survivor Rally in Vancouver, a peaceful 60 Scoop Survivor Rally across Canada in every major city. Victoria, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatoon, Regina, Winnipeg, Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal. 60 Scoop survivors across Turtle Island are mobilizing, motivated, and ready to make some noise, raise awareness to build support. Mark your calendars. More details to come as we plan our walk, as they plan their walk from Victory Square to Japanese Hall at 487 Alexander Street. The event is open to everyone, including allies, media, and general public.
All right, our next event is Audra Simpson is giving a talk. So that's happening on March 21st from 7 to 9 p.m. at SFU Woodwards at the World Arts Center and the Gold Corp Center for the Arts. So that's at 149 West Hastings. Audra Simpson is a huge scholar that's from the Mohawk Nation. She's done a lot of work around Indigenous resurgence, and she'll be talking about Indigenous women and intellectual traditions in anthropology.
Which is so cool. And then we have the All Haida Rock Show that Jason brought up before at Fairview 898 West Broadway, doors at 9, show at 10. Do you want to kind of briefly explain it again?
Well, Jason's not in the band, so you're going to have to figure that out.
Jay, I mess this up every single time.
That's the point of the name, really, is to screw with people. So, you know, in kind of conjunction with the Haida now opening at the Museum of Vancouver, which is going to be opening the same day, and there's a Haida opening tomorrow just for Haidas and guests. We're also, Christy Lane Sinclair, another amazing Haida artist, is releasing her EP. So she contacted us and said, hey, let's make there's enough of us now, enough of these awesome kind of new bands that are pushing out original music, Haida music, that we can have our own large show or larger format show in Vancouver. And so we're all here. We're all going to make that happen. So it's starts at 9. We'll have Chris Williams. It's going on at 9. 10 is kind of when the main acts start with Sister Says. And then after her is Christy Lane Sinclair, and then they're going to give us the floor at midnight, and we're just going to play until they basically kick us all out of the place.
Sweet. And we have our last event is going to be at the Museum of Anthropology. They're celebrating an opening of a new exhibition called Culture at the Center, with dance performances from the communities represented in the exhibit. So they're going to be from Musqueam, Squamish, Lil'wat, Hiltzik, Nishka, and Haida. So that's happening that's happening from 1 to 4 p.m., and you'll get to experience performances from all of these different nations and share in a little piece of their cultural history.
Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to all of the amazing speakers and humans who spoke at the Colton Bushi March and Tina Fontaine March, as well as the walkout today at UBC. We would like to thank our sponsors, NORAD Electric and Decolonizing Water, as well as James and Graham.
Yeah, hi, however you want to say it. And make sure you come out on Friday night to the All Haida Rock and Roll Show and party around with a bunch of hiders because it's a good time.
I'll share it on the Unseated Airwaves Facebook. The next show that you'll hear is queued up. My name is Autumn Schnell, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM.
American man. Now strike to many meaning, seven stars have hit the floor. We got all this democracy, what's it worth without a war? What a minute Congress, what a Sunday's like before. I got my marching orders, civil rights is such a bore. Now 30 for a dozen to be offered to the bull. 100,000 slaughtered just to keep its belly full. I'm tuning into politics, watch the White House show. Taking over comment sections, gonna eat the country whole! I had a yellow butter slam. I had a yellow butter slam.